Welcome to Author Voices on Air and the stories behind the stories of today's literature and their authors. A presentation of Author Solutions and its publishers. Our host today connects with the writer to share the vision and inspiration behind their works. Insightful, informative, and always entertaining. Please welcome our host for this week's edition of Author Voices on Air.
Welcome to Author Voices on Air, and I'm your host, Rick Bell. The title of our next book, Under the Fig Tree, Time to Go, One Last Coffee. This book is a searingly honest and very personal story of suicide, as Rita Wright navigates her way through the loss of her daughter, Anna Wright. She demonstrates how anxiety, panic, and depression do not have to end in death. Suicide prevention and survival after losing a loved one through suicide are the core elements of this book. And joining me now to share her personal story, her personal tragedy, is the author of the book, Rita Wright. Rita, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Now, this is a very tragic and, without question, a very personal story. Let's talk about that story and let's ask you to tell us how that story and that tragedy in your life and in the life of your daughter, how that became the book that we're talking about today. How did it all happen?
Well, it all happened because I was really struggling with coping with the grief of the loss of a daughter. And I naturally sat down and I had to put everything that was in my head onto paper, which eventually became the book. I realised it because it's to help others as well who have either lost somebody from suicide or and you think you can't go on with your life and that you're better off, everyone else is better off if you're dead. This book absolutely tells you no, that isn't true, that there are ways to survive suicide. So the book is basically about how to survive this terrible pandemic of suicide that's sweeping the globe, which has gone up since the COVID isolated everybody. So I wrote the book simply for my own sanity. And I found that I answered lots of questions about the type of child Anna was, which was very sensitive right from the beginning. And so by logging her story, that many people who find this world too difficult are too sensitive to cope with what's going on either outside world or in their own mind, then this book will help you say, no, I do need to live. I do want to live. So Anna's story begins really from birth, where she's born and she's very clingy, and she later on develops anorexia in her teens when she's bullied. But this is very much about Anna's life as much as about her death, because there were three or four times when she could have died a lot younger than the 37 years that she was when she took her life. But she rallied round and she beat the anorexia after a stint on a psychiatric ward. And she went on to university and she got a first class honours in fashion and design. And it was Anna's drawing, painting, creating that kept Anna alive as long as she did. But every now and again, this sensitive child inside would come to the fore. So she rallied around, like I said, and went to university. She went to Delhi to create some collections for some of the world's high street shops. And when she was in Delhi and alone, witnessing the children in the sweatshops, she reverted back to sensitive Anna, who didn't think she was worthy of eating food, and she felt very guilty that her life at home was so much better than these poor little children that were literally sweating with stinging eyes. So she came back, and she had to have psychiatric treatment. But she went to Paris in 2014, fully recovered, body weight was fine, and she met the love of her life, and she exhibited work in Paris. And then the Paris terrorist attacks happened, and she again sunk into her own troubled mind. And really, she didn't come fully back from those being caught up in the terrorist attacks. And in the end, she did say to me, not long before she died, actually, that she didn't feel that she had, she was exhausted, and she didn't feel that she had another, she couldn't go back onto a psychiatric ward. She'd really had enough. And we perhaps should have seen it coming, but because she always rallied round, we thought, okay, she can come back from this again. So my real grief of her dying was what made me think, okay, this is so awful, and I've learned that I can't be isolated with this this terrible feeling of loss. So I wanted to write something that I could share with other people. So the book is Anna's story, and her artwork is all through the book. But it's also about, because I'm a trained, qualified therapist, psychotherapist, and so I've kind of used both my professional and my personal hats to write this book to say, hey, we can get through this. You know, we can get through the crisis times, because the crisis times are when somebody will spontaneously take their life.
And of course, the important part about writing this book is you mentioned about helping other people, and you touched on it there very briefly, is the fact that quite often what can go sadly wrong is not being able to spot the signs. And having read the book, that was one valuable thing that I took from the book, is the fact that people often miss what appears to be, in, you know, with hindsight, what appears to be the most obvious signs, but they're not as obvious as people think. What kind of feedback have you had so far from people who have read the book, not only people who benefited from the book, but, you know, friends and acquaintances? What has been the general feedback about the book?
Okay. That's a difficult one to answer, actually. I think that if I can go back to the main reasons for the book, which is, you know, how did I go for lunch with my daughter on her birthday 1 week, and then she killed herself the week after? What did I miss? What didn't I see? And she did have a sadness in her eyes when we said goodbye, but hey, we were close. And so afterwards, you start to say to yourself, what could I have seen? What could I have done different? And I think it's just communication, not being isolated with your grief. There's always somebody you can share. I'm coming back all the time really to this, don't be isolated. And so if you do find that somebody in your family is perhaps very sensitive, they were a sensitive child, you know, it's in their makeup, always nudge to talk. Just, you know, you might feel you're saying, are you okay? Are you okay really? But maybe just one time when you say, are you okay? And you're not. Then that might be the time when someone will say, no, I'm not, and I'm overwhelmed, and I can't take this life anymore. You know, I can't overestimate how important connecting is, because suicide has stigmas of shame and blame. And I've always felt to blame for Anna's death. Her father has. her friends have, it's very natural to you, for you to think, where did I go wrong? But, you know, somebody who is intent on taking their life, it's, you know, you can't blame yourself because it's their mind that they can't deal with anymore.
And it is, so, of course, and it is, we should make the point that it's not someone feeling fed up. It's an illness, just like other illness. And the difficulty with this kind of illness is that, unlike other ailments or illnesses, or, you know, like cancers or breaking a leg, whatever, the signs aren't, you know, jumping out at you. So, you know, that's where the difficulty lies. Yeah. Now, moving on to what will seem like another possibly a difficult question. How would you describe this book? What genre would you place this book in? And a second part of that question is, what do you think makes this stand out in comparison to other similar books? So a double-edged question there.
Yeah. It's a self-help book. It's a true story. Sorry, I don't know if I'm cracking up at your end or if it's just me cracking up at this end. It's a therapy book. But it's mostly a story, and it's a self-help book for prevention and postvention suicide. But it also shows the one big difference about this book and Anna's charity is that we're looking at how creativity can help somebody through difficult times. You'll find a lot of people who are depressed are extremely artistic, or they're a writer, or some creative field. And in the book, it shows how art in schools and universities and prisons, where there's a high amount of suicide as well, it's showing that to use your creativity to get your thoughts out onto paper is going to help relieve your mind of that terrible feeling that you can't live with this. It's kind of, your art is kind of making sense of your inner world, if you will. Yeah.
And I suppose what you're saying there really is art and being creative is almost could be perceived as communicating with yourself, understanding
completely
what's going on
yeah.
in your head. Now, I know you mentioned earlier off here, you mentioned that this is not the first book you've written, but certainly I'm just, heart-wrenching and difficult book that you've ever written. So tell me a little about some of the challenges that you faced when you were writing this book. And also, after that, on the positive side, what is the most rewarding part of finishing the book?
Okay. That is actually a question I've been asked quite a lot. And all I can say is I didn't feel I had any option but to write the book. The writing for me was my creativity, my pain coming out onto the pages, rather like Anna's art used to come onto the pages. It's very intricate, her art. You can see she's showing you that there's pain and anguish inside. And so when we work with schools and universities, they're encouraged to draw what's going on in their world so that then it can be interpreted by teachers and lecturers. And it's so the book was easy to write because I didn't have an option. If I hadn't written the book, I think I'd have sunk, I'd have gone under. But I felt Anna close to me as I was writing. I did a lot of grieving while I was writing. And to such an extent that when I came to the end, I thought, okay, there's another book in me now, not about Anna's life, but about my life and about mixing things like dementia and how to get through when you have a loved one who's got dementia.
That was actually conveniently going to be my next question, that I was just going to tell the listeners that the, you know, for people who will love this book, and they will, is the good news is that there is a sequel. So do you have a working title for your new book?
My new book is called Joy in Purgatory. And so it's about those last years when somebody has dementia, how much they can work through, even if they have no memory of anything anymore, by the person with dementia speaking and sharing, those last years can be joyous rather than angry or sad. So Joy in Purgatory, Joy was my mum's name, it's a play on words, and she had dementia, and it's really about how we found a way to communicate. Again, hers was singing. For some reason, my mum out of nowhere started singing. So it's perhaps a little bit more uplifted than Anna's book in that there's lots of humour as well. You know, the dark comedy of the irony of dementia, the fact that it's so common nowadays, all different dementias and early onset dementias. So that's my second book. Again, it's about communicating. It's about how a mother and a daughter communicate again, only this time it's my mum and me, whereas the other one is Anna and myself.
And when can we expect to see your second book available to our listeners?
The second book should be late spring, summer.
Oh, we'll look forward to that.
Yeah. Now, it's in editing at the moment.
Okay. Well, this book, this story, is, as I mentioned during the introduction, during the interview, is a very... I mean, they don't come more personal than this.
No.
But is there anything that we haven't touched on or haven't mentioned during the interview that you feel is important for your readers and our listeners to know about this book?
Okay. Well, what this book worked towards and has now come to fruition is I've set up the Anna M. Wright Art Foundation, and the charity will raise money to help educate really lecturers and teachers how to spot in an art class that they have a child in trouble. So there might be a smiley, chatty child, but some of her art can be dark, or his art can be dark, and that way you can get the words out that if they hadn't come out, they would be stored inside, and likely you're going to self-harm.
So ask the right questions, the signs.
Read the signs, yeah.
Okay.
If you think we don't use our intuition enough, sometimes we'll think, oh, like I did last time I saw Anna on her birthday, oh, but she can often get sad. Or if I had said, hold on, don't go, what's that sad face about? Who knows? I maybe could have stopped it. And I think anybody who's lost someone close to suicide will have those thoughts. And what I'm saying is, no, you must back up those thoughts with, I couldn't do anything.
Very good, wise advice indeed. Well, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Under the Fig Tree is published by Author House and is available direct from the publisher at authorhouse.com/bookstore and all good book stalkers. Well, it has been my pleasure to speak to the author of this touching personal story, the author Rita Wright. Thank you for joining me, Rita.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And we wish you every success with this book, the sequel, and all your future writing. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Rick Bell for Toggenet Radio 2.0. Thank you for listening.
Join us again as we explore the passion and inspiration behind the works of today's authors right here on Author Voices on Air.